Man, welcome back, everybody. Okay, so let's see exactly what we talked about. Because I know in the last episode, we were kind of actually talking about a little bit of everything. You know, it talks about what we would call Christianity and basically how it was taught and things like that. On the seventh episode, well, actually, we're on the eighth episode by now. Now I'm actually going to break more into the story. So now you guys actually have a lot of background of pretty much of what, you know, Inverse Villain Van Michaels is all about. Actually, I do appreciate you checking out this podcast. So actually started on back from the time that I was actually little. Always told that I was special, but aren't we all? You know, I think we're all special in our own ways. It's just some are a little bit more bizarre than others. Some are just a little bit more normal, and some are just a little bit more, nobody really knows. So anyway, back to the story. So you're talking to basically a person that grew up in a family that wasn't too mixed back then, especially in the 70s. Actually, all the way to make it in a Catholic Christian family when you're actually growing up. Only to find out that pretty much when you were the one that was special, being the oldest, which I was, and actually got a lot of attention. It wasn't a warm, loving family. Nothing wrong there. Just the fact that it was culturally difficult at that time for, you know, the couple of my parents that were actually together who were raising me. Actually, I really didn't see too much of any kind of difference in color or, you know, gender or anything else like that. I was just a quiet kid. Very quiet. Really kept to myself, was kind of forced into a lot of things, actually. Really didn't really want to do too much. So for all of you that pretty much do know me, Inverse Villain Van Michaels here, Chronicles of the Grey Witch. It was really interesting if you would have seen what I was like as a kid. I had to, you know, pretty much learn quite a few things rapidly. You know, how to cook, how to clean, you know, the type of thing when a lot of other kids were playing and doing their own thing, which I'll tell you what, was definitely a survival trait. So I will say that I'm not salty about that at all. But growing up in a religious family like I was, it was always this thing, talk about God and the higher powers that be and all that stuff. And, you know, really just never, always kind of just crammed down your throat. And I think it's just how it is. And, you know, because spiritually, like you say, I think you heard us in the other podcast. If you've been following the podcast consistently, you'll see, you know, the repetition of what I'm doing here and the story that I'm actually laying out as we're talking about this. But the interesting part of it was that, I was a very, very creative, also at the same sense, too, very vivid imagination type kid, totally right brain. And had a lot of dreams. So I was just communicating about my dreams. My dreams were like movies. Like, I think a lot of us do have that. I always used to remember all my dreams. I was always fascinated about the dream world. So growing up, religion was the main thing. I followed that religion all the way until about the age of about, let's say, actually when I ran into my buddy Kyle, if you heard him in the back episodes or two. He actually pretty much told me that I'd be a practitioner and, you know, and how I would actually, you know, spawn off and do all kinds of wild things. And at the time, I was just full-blown Christian. I'd be like, if you would have told me that, you know, I would be here where I'm at right now, I would have probably told you to F off. And, you know, we gave you a few, you know, Hail Marys and a couple backflips for you, but, you know, sprinkle you holy water, whatever I got to do. But, at that time, I didn't really believe it. I was just like, nah, it was just too dark. I just didn't see myself in it, you know. And it's like, you really don't see too many black witches anyway, you know, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, so then they turn around and I make it to, you know, 15, start getting a little bit curious and things like that. And no, but actually, this whole Christian thing was so ingrained in me. It was just like, you know, you're going to go to hell. You know, you're going to burn forever, that type of shit. And it was just like, you know, who wants to do that? It doesn't sound like fun. You know, you always stay in fear all the time, you know, when you're in Christianity. And It's like 613 laws is a lot. 10 commandments seems like a whole bunch for a person who just runs around, only doing it maybe once or twice a week. Me, I had to do it like several times a week. And, when it comes down to my auntie, she took it to the extreme from one, for a couple hours a day turned into, a couple of days turned into, every day turned into, all right, let me be, I'm pretty much locked in a room for a day, and then locked in a room for 2 days, just to the point where she almost didn't come out. So, interesting part was is that I kept always feeling like every time that I prayed, I was cursing myself. It's like, I used to go to church, used to see people who started off just like me, came in there just wanting to believe in something, and needed help in this and needed help in that, and just confused. 15, you're confused, your hormones are racing, nobody can really tell you anything, you can't do anything, you're kind of stuck in limbo. You're old enough to stay outside past dark, but then at the same time, no, too, it's like, you're still below curfew. It's a weird age. And I said most of my 20s were kind of like that, though, too. So there was a lot of fear being built up in that type of religion, and I got tired of being afraid. I was already a shy kid. I already didn't say too much. I didn't do too much. And I always just tried to do the right thing. Still found a way to get my ass in trouble. But the funny thing of it was is people always liked me around. I was always a really really positive kid. And I still feel like I am, just a little bit more direct and straight, blunt and straight to the point. And that's good because nowadays, as an adult, people have a tendency to, try to want to walk over you or try to step on you. And really, in all honesty, I have to tell you, that's probably why, I think I really stepped into the craft was is I got tired of taking people's shit. After a while, people, had a tendency to, take your kindness for weakness, and I'm just not one of those people. Now as a Buddhist, it's a little bit peaceful, but we'll get a little bit more into that, sticking to the story. So I would have to say that, I've seen a lot of people, you go into the church just like me, and different origins, different ethnicities. At first it was just nothing but black churches, black churches, black churches. I really didn't feel like I wasn't that loud, so I really didn't feel like I had a lot in common, with my own race at the time. But growing up in a cultural difference, family, and pretty much I was the cultural difference, in that family, it was actually interesting to, I used to hear things a lot. When I say hear things a lot is, I was so quiet, I was kind of like the fly on the wall all the time. And they get into these religious talks, and it was more like a religious battle, and everybody's like, battling for supremacy over what's right. And actually, nobody could really figure it out. I think they all had a good point of view, but at the same time, though, too, it was just something that, would last for hours and hours and hours in this house, and until just people would give up or get tired or just didn't want to hear it anymore. So I was always in the middle of those. I had an aunt that was pretty much just like religious, pretty much Bible thumper from Hades or whatever you want to say. But she had a lot of it down. And mom always tried to keep me inspired, which was nice, But back to the thing, I just kind of felt like I'd just been cursing myself. Every time I would pray, something bad would happen, in all honesty. And then it would just get worse, and it would just get worse, and it would just get worse. And it just got to a point where it just became tiring. So it took me a while because I was like, no, obviously this is something that is so good. Why would it be bad? And you always have that gut feeling. It pretty much tells you in the background, what things are really like, and how you really should be. And it's just after all those years of being, in this form of religion, it was very hard to think outside the box because, we weren't trained that way. And We weren't led that way. We always told that if you go that way, it's the wrong, and it's the devil, and it's all this other stuff, and pretty much all the worst parts of the Bible if you stepped out of it. And that's the part where they just steal the fear into you, you know. And a lot of people, you know, after years of doing that, it took years to uncondition myself of that way of thinking. And it made it really, really difficult because, you know what, a lot of people have a tendency to feel just like sheep, you know. So I call them the sheep. They feel better in numbers, you know. Try walking this yourself with no numbers. In fact, actually, I didn't really even run into people like myself until years later, you know. So I walked this path by myself for quite a long time, you know, and I don't think a lot of people would have been able to do it. So at the age of 15, 16, 17, you know, nothing but confusion, you know. By 17, 18, 19, which is actually 19, 10, new beginning in numerology, if you really think about it, that's when everything kicked wide open for me. At 18, I was living the time of my life, doing the things that I wanted to do, meeting people that you would probably would never believe. Being places that I probably wouldn't even be able to go at this age. And I was doing more at 18, 19 than I was, you know, pretty much now. But I learned a big valuable lesson back then. I was making money, I was having a good time, I was doing all the things you can imagine, partying, you know, girls, I mean, you name it. And then one day it just pretty much all went away. Like in one day, it was gone. And I was in Lake Elsinore, you know, pretty much with my girlfriend and my kid, and it was everything gone. So from money's cars, clothes, music, you know, down to nothing. And you know, I thought that pretty much that this was my time, my ticket into a better life, and prayed my ass off. You know, and only to feel like in the end, it was just snatched, you know, and just felt cursed. And that's pretty much when it all begun. We went down there, it was me, my girlfriend, and my kid. And I know it's kind of funny. I think he was like maybe 5 months at the time. And we decided to go see a movie. You know, at that time, I was kind of borderline on the fence of, you know, do I out Christianity and start something new? But it's the only thing that I've known in the 19 years of my life, you know, when I was, you know, pretty much on this earth. So to go against it would be a horrific thing, you know, and actually hell, fires, and brimstone and everything would pretty much come into play, and all the worst parts of the Bible would basically come into my life. So I sat in for an entire year, no, almost not even an entire year, I have to say. It was more of like a split decision thing, because it wasn't too long before my son was actually born that I had to really make the decision of what I was going to do. Because with bringing a new life into this world, it was just like I wanted everything for him, and I didn't want him to go through the things that I went through, which it will come up later on in the story. But the interesting part of this was is that when I pretty much lost my music career, and I prayed and I stayed devoted and put it all in my music and just did everything I possibly could, it was just like I felt like that God pretty much just, you know, basically slammed the door in my face and was like, fuck you. So I said, okay. So then I started to get into a form of, you know, rebellion, you know, and rebellion really kicked in because I started to think about it. And the more I reflected in my life, the more I realized how shitty my life pretty much was in that religion. And so I decided to do some research, you know. At that time, I really hadn't taken the step yet, but I was definitely working towards it. So I think we're going to just conclude it right there. So I wanted to say, Inverse Chronicles of the Grey Witch, I'm actually Billy Van Michaels. And until the next episode, I just wanted to say thank you for stopping in, and I will see you on the next one. Villain out.
And welcome back, everybody.
Alright, excuse me, actually. Okay, so let's see exactly what we talked about. Because I know in the last episode, we were kind of actually talking about a little bit of everything. You know, it talks about what we would call Christianity and basically how it was taught and things like that. On the seventh episode, well, actually, we're on the eighth episode by now. Now I'm actually going to break more into the story. So now you guys actually have a lot of background of pretty much of what, you know, Inverse Villain Van Michaels is all about. Actually, I do appreciate you checking out this podcast. So actually started on back from the time that I was actually little. Always told that I was special, but aren't we all? You know, I think we're all special in our own ways. It's just some are a little bit more bizarre than others. Some are just a little bit more normal, and some are just a little bit more, nobody really knows. So anyway, back to the story. So you're talking to basically a person that grew up in a family that was wasn't too mixed back then, especially in the 70s, actually all the way to make it in a Catholic Christian family when you're actually growing up. Only to find out that pretty much when you were the one that was special, being the oldest, which I was. And actually got a lot of attention. It wasn't a warm, loving family. Nothing wrong there. Just the fact that it was culturally difficult at that time for, you know, the couples or my parents that were actually together who were raising me. Actually, I really didn't see too much of any kind of difference in color or, you know, gender or anything else like that. I was just a quiet kid. Very quiet. Really kept to myself, was kind of forced into a lot of things, actually. Really didn't really want to do too much. So for all of you that pretty much do know me, Inverse Villain Van Michaels here, Chronicles of the Grey Witch, what it was really interesting if you would have seen what I was like as a kid. I had to, you know, pretty much learn quite a few things rapidly, you know, how to cook, how to clean, you know, that type of thing when a lot of other kids were playing and doing their own thing, which I'll tell you what, was definitely a survival trait. So I will say that I'm not salty about that at all. But growing up in a religious family like I was, it was always this thing, talk about God and the higher powers that be and all that stuff. And, you know, really just never, always kind of just crammed down your throat. And I think it's just how it is. And, you know, because spiritually, like you say, I think you heard us in the other podcast. If you've been following the podcast consistently, you'll see, you know, the repetition of what I'm doing here and the story that I'm actually laying out as we're talking about this. But the interesting part of it was that, you know, I was a very, very creative, also at the same sense, very vivid imagination type kid, totally right brain. And had a lot of dreams, so I was just communicating about my dreams. My dreams were like movies, like I think a lot of us do have that. I always used to remember all my dreams. I was always fascinated about the dream world. So growing up, religion was the main thing. I followed that religion all the way until about the age of about, let's say actually when I ran into my buddy Kyle, if you heard in the back episodes or two. He actually pretty much told me that I'd be a practitioner and, you know, and how I would actually, you know, spawn off and do all kinds of wild things. And at the time, I was just full-blown Christian. I'd be like, if you would have told me that, you know, I would be here where I'm at right now, I would have probably told you to F off and, you know, maybe gave you a few, you know, Hail Marys and a couple backflips for you, but, you know, sprinkle you holy water, whatever I got to do. But, at that time, I didn't really believe it. I was just like, nah, it was just too dark. I just didn't see myself in it, you know. And it's like, you really don't see too many black witches anyway, you know, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, so then they turn around and I make it to, you know, 15, start getting a little bit curious and things like that. And no, but actually, so the Christian thing was so ingrained in me. It was just like, you know, you're going to go to hell. You know, you're going to burn forever, that type of shit. And it was just like, you know, who wants to do that? It doesn't sound like fun, you know. You always stay in fear all the time, you know, when you're in Christianity. And, It's like 613 laws is a lot. Ten commandments seems like a whole bunch for a person who just runs around, only doing it maybe once or twice a week. Me, I had to do it like several times a week. And when it comes down to my auntie, she took it to the extreme from one, for a couple hours a day turned into, a couple of days turned into, every day turned into, all right, let me be, pretty much locked in a room for a day, and then locked in a room for 2 days, just to the point where she almost didn't come out. So, interesting part was that I kept always feeling like every time that I prayed, I was cursing myself. It's like, I used to go to church, I used to see people who started off just like me, came in there just wanting to believe in something, and needed help in this and needed help in that, and just confused. 15, you're confused, your hormones are racing, nobody can really tell you anything, you can't do anything, you're kind of stuck in limbo. You're old enough to stay outside past dark, but then at the same time, it's like, you're still below curfew. It's a weird age. And I said, most of my 20s were kind of like that, though, too. So there was a lot of fear being built up in that type of religion, and I got tired of being afraid. I was already a shy kid, I already didn't say too much, I didn't do too much, and I was just trying to do the right thing. I still found a way to get my ass in trouble. But the funny thing of it was people always liked me around. I was always a really, really positive kid, and I still feel like I am, just a little bit more direct and straight, blunt and straight to the point. And that's good, because, nowadays, as an adult, people have a tendency to, try to want to walk over you or try to step on you. And, really, in all honesty, I have to tell you, that's probably why, I think I really stepped into the craft, was I got tired of taking people's shit. After a while, people, had a tendency to, take your kindness for weakness, and I'm just not one of those people, Now as a Buddhist, it's a little bit peaceful, but we'll get a little bit more into that, sticking to the story. So I would have to say that, I've seen a lot of people, you go into the church, just like me, and, different origins, different ethnicities. At first it was just nothing but black churches. I really didn't feel like, I wasn't that loud, so I really didn't feel like I had a lot in common, with my own race at the time. But, growing up in a cultural difference, family, and pretty much I was the cultural difference in that family. It was actually interesting to, I used to hear things a lot. When I say hear things a lot is I was so quiet, I was kind of like the fly on the wall all the time. And, they get into these religious talks, and it was more like a religious battle. And everybody's like, battling for supremacy over what's right. And actually, nobody could really figure it out. I think they all had a good point of view. But at the same time, it was just something that, would last for hours and hours and hours in this house. And, until just people would give up or get tired or just didn't want to hear it anymore. So I was always in the middle of those. I had an aunt that was pretty much just like religious, pretty much, Bible thumper from Hades or whatever you want to say. But, she had a lot of it down. And mom always tried to keep me inspired, which was nice, But back to the thing, I just kind of felt like I'd just been cursing myself. Every time I would pray, something bad would happen, in all honesty, and then it would just get worse, and it would just get worse, and it would just get worse, and it just got to a point where it just became tiring. So it took me a while, because I was like, no, obviously this is something that is so good, why would it be bad? And you always have that gut feeling. It pretty much tells you in the background, what things are really like, and how you really should be. And it's just, after all those years of being, in this form of religion, it was very hard to think outside the box, because we weren't trained that way. And You know, we weren't led that way. We were always told that if you go that way, it's the wrong, and it's the devil, and it's all this other stuff, and pretty much all the worst parts of the Bible if you stepped out of it. And that's the part where they just steal the fear into you, you know? And a lot of people, you know, after years of doing that, it took years to uncondition myself of that way of thinking. And it made it really, really difficult because, you know what? A lot of people have a tendency to feel just like sheep, you know, so I call them the sheep. They feel better in numbers, you know. Try walking this yourself with no numbers. In fact, actually, I didn't really even run into people like myself until years later, you know. So I walked this path by myself for quite a long time, you know, and I don't think a lot of people would have been able to do it. So at the age of 15, 16, 17, you know, nothing but confusion, you know. By 17, 18, 19, which is actually 19, 10, new beginning in numerology, if you really think about it, that's when everything kicked wide open for me. At 18, I was living a time of my life, doing the things that I wanted to do, meeting people that you would probably would never believe. Being places that I probably wouldn't even be able to go at this age. And I was doing more at 18, 19 than I was, you know, pretty much now. But I learned a big valuable lesson back then. I was making money. I was having a good time. I was doing all the things you can imagine, partying, you know, girls, I mean, you name it. And then it would all, in one day, it just pretty much all went away. Like, in one day, it was gone. And I was in Lake Elsinore, you know, pretty much with my girlfriend and my kid, and it was everything gone. So from money, cars, clothes, music, you know, down to nothing. And, you know, I thought that pretty much that this was my time, my ticket into a better life, and prayed my ass off. You know, and only to feel like in the end, it was just snatched, you know, and just felt cursed. And that's pretty much when it all begun. We went down there, it was me, my girlfriend, and my kid. And I know it's kind of funny. I think he was like maybe 5 months at the time. And we decided to go see a movie. You know, at that time, I was kind of borderline on the fence of, you know, do I out Christianity and start something new? But it's the only thing that I've known in the 19 years of my life, you know, when I was, you know, pretty much on this earth. So to go against it would be a horrific thing, you know, and actually hell, fires and brimstone and everything would pretty much come into play, and all the worst parts of the Bible would basically come into my life. So I sat in for an entire year, no, almost not even an entire year, I have to say. It was more of like a split decision thing, because it wasn't too long before my son was actually born that I had to really make the decision of what I was going to do. Because with bringing a new life into this world, it was just like I wanted everything for him, and I didn't want him to go through the things that I went through, which it will come up later on in the story. But the interesting part of this was is that when I pretty much lost my music career, and I prayed and I stayed devoted and put it all in my music and just did everything I possibly could, it was just like I felt like that God pretty much just, you know, basically slammed the door in my face and was like, fuck you. So I said, okay. So then I started to get into a form of, you know, rebellion, you know, and rebellion really kicked in because I started to think about it. And the more I reflected in my life, the more I realized how shitty my life pretty much was in that religion. And so I decided to do some research, you know. At that time, I really hadn't taken the step yet, but I was definitely working towards it. So I think we're going to just conclude it right there. So I wanted to say, Inverse Chronicles of the Grey Witch, I'm actually Billy Van Michaels, and until the next episode, I just wanted to say thank you for stopping in, and I will see you on the next one. Villain out.